All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let us begin. We are continuing in today's Mishnah Yomi. Meretz Hashem, Brachos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Ches, and Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph. Brachos, chapter 2, Mishnah 8, and chapter 3, Mishnah 1. Says Mishnah Ches. Last Mishnah, second chapter. Chosen, Im Hayalikros Kriyashma Laila Harishon Kore. If a chosen wants to say Kriyashma on the night of his wedding, he has the right to do so. Remember again, this is a continuation of two Mishnahs ago where we learned the idea that a chassan is pater from Kriyashma on the night of his wedding, actually through Matzei Shabbos, for 4 nights. Because the idea the Mishnah gave is that this is an example of tirda de mitzvah, preoccupation with the mitzvah, and therefore a person will not have the requisite concentration to be able to recite Kriyashma. Therefore, again, what happened? Mishnah says as follows. What happens if the chassan wants to recite Kriyashma? What happens? You know, as the chassan says, I could have kavanah. I'm sure I could manage it. So the Tanakhama, the first opinion of the Mishnah, says that the chassan wants to go ahead and say Kriyashma on the night of his wedding, kore, he has the right to do so. In other words, the Tanakhama holds that, and by the way, this is the way Rabbi Gamliel himself conducted himself earlier on, 2 Mishnayos ago. He said Kriyashma on the night of his wedding. So the idea that Tanakhama says is this is a ptur, while it is an exemption, it is not a forced patur, it's not a forced exemption. So if you feel that you can muster up the requisite kavanah, the requisite concentration to say Shema, you're permitted to do so. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, this is very interesting, Lo kol harotze litolas Hashem yitol. So literally translated, it means, not everyone who wants to take the name could take the name. And I will say it's interesting, because when you read the Mishnah, you assume, what does Shem refer to? What does Shem refer to? Pashtos, the name of Hashem. But in fact, the Bartanura explains that that's not what it refers to. Instead, he says over here, Shem is the name of being a chassid or a Talmud Chacham. In other words, Rav Shimon Leal is saying is as follows. To say that you're the kind of person who is able to muster up the requisite concentration to say Shema, even on your wedding night, is making a statement about who you are and where you're holding. That you're a Talmud Chacham, that you're a Chassid, that you're pious. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon Leal says, not everyone could claim that distinction. Now, again, this is not Rabbi Shimon Leal trying to be belittling, and it's not Rabbi Shimon Leal trying to say that he's on a higher level than anyone else, but rather it's just a matter of fact. Rabbi Shimon Leal says, most of us cannot muster up the requisite kavana in certain circumstances. So the average individual on his wedding night is going to be preoccupied with the mitzvah of consummating the marriage. And so, again, a regular person is not going to have the right kavana for Shema on that night. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon Leal says, no, you can't choose to say Shema on the night of your wedding, because Chazal said you're not going to have kavana. If Chazal said you're not going to have kavana, that's the norm. And therefore, again, Rabbi Shimon Leal essentially says it's a forced ptur. It's a forced exemption. So an interesting machlokes. Tanakhama is saying, if you want to say Shema, you can say Shema. Rabbi Shimon Leal is saying, no, only specific individuals who really are Talmidei Chachamim, Chassidim, have the ability to muster up that kavana. And for the average individual, we should not let them, quote unquote, not let them. In other words, they should not say Kriya Shema. So Rabbi says, how do we paskim? So this is actually a very sad psak. So the sad psak is, the Mishnah Berurah says, that today, anyway, we don't have kavana. In other words, we generally don't have kavana. We don't have kavana when we're getting married, not getting married, you know, whatever it is. So there's such a diminished level of kavana. So therefore, again, we say Kriya Shema. So a chassan, even on his wedding night, says Shema. So again, so the way we essentially paskin is like the Tanakhama, that in all of these situations, if a person wants to say Shema, they do say Shema, because unfortunately, again, the ability to have true kavana is so difficult anyway. If we went ahead and made the recitation of Shema predicated on the ability to muster up the right amount of kavana, then what? Unfortunately, we'd be saying Shema very infrequently. Therefore, as a result of that, we always say Shema. Beautiful, we'll say Mazel Tov. I'll finish in the second parak. Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph. Misha Mesomutu Lefanav. So both sides. So now, this is a different example. This is a different example over here of Osik B'mitzvah Patra Min HaMitzvah. When one is engaged in the performance of one mitzvah, they are exempted from other mitzvot. So in this case over here, a person has an obligation to go ahead. A person has a relative who passed away. So Rav said, it's not talking about aninos, right? Per se, that's a different discussion. But this is talking about a person has a relative who passed away, and the obligation of burial devolves upon that particular individual. So that's Misha Miso Mutalafanov. If someone's deceased relative is lying before them, Pater Mikriyashma. Such an individual is Pater from Kriyashma. And ultimately, again, the idea behind that is, since I am Tarud, since I am preoccupied with the needs of the burial, that's called Osik B'mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah. Once I'm engaged in the performance of one mitzvah, I'm exempt from another. Uminat tefillah. I'm also exempt from Shmona Esrei, from tefillah. Uminat tefillin. I'm also exempt from tefillin. But I will say, interestingly enough, the exemption from tefillin is a fascinating exemption as well. This also seems to be an osik b'mitzvah, patra min ha-mitzvah, right? I'm engaged in the performance of one mitzvah, so by definition, I'm exempt from other mitzvahs. Now, the truth is, I will say, it happens to be an onin, right? A person between death and burial is really exempt from all positive mitzvos. Just the Bar Tanura points out, the Mishnah is only recording like the very significant ones. I'm pater from Shema, I'm pater from Shmona Esrei, I'm pater from Tulim. And I will say, this is indeed halacha l'maisa today. Right? Rachman al-San lo alinu, a person loses a relative from the time between death and burial. A person is in a state of aninos, and what marks the state of aninos is an exemption from all positive mitzvos. Now, here's what's interesting. Nosi hamita v'chilufehen v'chilufei chilufein. But say, what about the people carrying the funeral bier, right? The people carrying the coffin, the people carrying, right, the mace, the deceased himself. So what's the halacha? So those who are carrying the funeral bed or the casket at the time of the levaya, and also what they used to have is they would carry it in shifts. Right? In other words, they wouldn't have the same piece. You will say, the way we have our levayas, it's really, especially in North America, it's interesting. The way we have our levayas in North America is very much influenced by the way the people around us, by the way just Gentile society does funerals. If in other words, if you've ever been to a levaya, even outside of America, right? It's done just very differently. Done very Eretz Yisrael, it's done very differently. Even, you know, I remember I was once in a levaya in South Africa. It's done very differently. Everything is just interesting. So in any event, they're talking about literally carrying the funeral bier, right? They're carrying the casket. So what they would do is they would have a rotation. Different people would carry it at different times. So chilufeyen, chilufey, chilufeyen, eshlifnei amita, veshla achar amita. There are people then in front of the funeral bier and behind the funeral bier. Eshlamita tzorach ben pturin. Anyone who is serving a specific need in helping to carry the funeral bier, pater. Because we both said the idea over there is that what? Osik b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah. I'm engaged in the performance of a mitzvah, and therefore I'm exempt from other mitzvahs. Ve'es she'in t'orach ha-mitah b'hen, says ve'es she'in l'mitah t'orach b'hen chayovin. Ultimately, again, whoever is not necessary, ultimately, again, is chayiv. However, again, the Mishnah points out, elu v'elu, peturin minat tefillah. But interestingly enough, we'll say, when we say chayovin, we're talking about over here, kriyashma, and tefillin. So if you're actively osik b'mitzvah, helping with the funeral bier, you're pater from other mitzvos. Right? But at the end of the day, if you're not needed for the funeral bier, then halacha l'maisa, in other words, what do you mean you're not needed? You're there, but you're not actively carrying right now. Then ultimately, again, you will be chayiv. However, the Mishnah says, elu v'elu. Now, interestingly enough, elu v'elu means both those carrying the funeral bier, as well as those accompanying the casket, Peturin min hatfila, are exempt from Shmona Esrei. Now, wherein lies the distinction? Shmona Esrei, as important as it is Dirabanan. Kriyashma and Tfilim are Da'oraisa. So therefore, again, if you're involved in the Levaya at all, whether you're carrying the casket or you're just escorting it, you're going to be pata from Shmona Esrei. But halacha lamaisa, the only time you're exempted from a mitzvah Da'oraisa, like Kriyashma or Tfilim, is when you're actively involved in carrying the mace. All right, we'll stop over here. Shkayach. We'll pick up Emir Hashem tomorrow. Actually, I have to figure out what I'm going to do about Shabbos. All right, we'll figure that out. Shkayach, we'll say.